So the story is about setting things in order from what is interior to what is exterior. I mean, that's the whole picture. So, like here, it talks about the children and the flocks and the herds are left in Goshen. But this is not a separation. This is an ordering of the mind and having things in their appropriate levels so that what is more interior can actually have an influence on what is more exterior. So it's about the infilling. So the Lord works from first principles through ultimate. So those two things are set in place, and then the middle is infilled. And that gives you the rungs on the ladder so that what is higher can be present at our level of awareness. And that change does come with grief. So, one of the biggest shifts for people, and you see it in Loga Praxis all the time, is their attachment to their historical faith. When that has to actually be unraveled in order that a living faith can actually come in its place. So the letter of the word is never done away with. It's the letter. It's what it is. But to view it naturally means that it is disempowered in terms of its ability to reach us. It's only when you view it spiritually that the Lord can be seen. That's the glorification. So the word viewed from person, place, time, and space, insofar as historicals are concerned, is the infirm human. It's what has been taken from the world to clothe things at a level where at least our natural can get hold of it. But the purpose is to lift us out of those historicals and into seeing the glory of the Lord coming in the word itself. So a natural understanding reads the gospels and projects it out into history. That's not the function of the word. The word is not to project our thinking out into history. But because our natural affections are strong, that's where they go, because that affirms a way of holding the Lord that is very much like us. Whereas what the word really is designed to do, it is to draw us inward and to see not the divine human as something finite and limited, but to see the divine human as the living God, infinite and eternal. So those two things have to be held, but the lower serves the support for the higher. But if we're trapped in the lower and see it as the thing in itself, then it can't do what it's designed to do. The Lord can't reach us while we're thinking of Him as a finite human being. And we might call that finite image infinite and eternal, but we're still thinking in terms of what is finite. And that's what has to be put off in order for the interiors of the word to come forth. And so gives us the capacity to, this is all from the Lord, of course, but the capacity is given to see how to apply it more interiorly. And that's what saves us, because we are being saved from thinking in terms of appearances as being real. That's really what we're being saved from. That's what the proprium does. It thinks in terms of person, place, time, and space, and that's what limits things. So, no, the word is never done away with. Those aspects of the letter are always there, but they need to serve as the objects of our thought, not the subject of our thought. So the objects are there to support us thinking in a higher way. If the objects are thought about as the subjects, then we're trapped down, right down in the natural. And what's being shown in this here, and all of that's being elevated up and able to carry things more inward, these things, the army, the whole entourage, are those things that can serve to elevate and put in order what's needed to be put in order so that the Lord can be more fully present for us. And it's all Joseph. Joseph is doing the whole thing. And that's the Lord and His divine human working to secure what's needed so that His natural can be described as His natural being made divine, to become a divine natural. So the divine natural is not the imagery, the representation that's set in history. The divine natural is the letter of the word fully supporting the interiors so that they shine through. That's the divine natural. That's the Lord glorified, if you like. So just on the divine human, it says this. So this number is Spiritual Experiences or Diary Minor. It's 4609. So it's headed up with, what a mental image of the infinite and eternal is like if the mental imagery is from space and time. And then the number goes on to say, I spoke with spirits also about a mental image of the infinite and eternal derived from space and time, saying that an image of them entirely perishes and becomes none, causing disbelief in the divinity. It was suggested to think of the eternal before the creation of the world, and that if time is in the thought, there is no idea of it. If we think from time, that finite notion arises that there was some beginning to the existence of God, thus that he arose. It is not possible to think otherwise from time. The case is the same with regard to space outside of the universe, which also cannot exist to infinity if we think from space. There would be no endpoint and so forth, although one is never led away from that absurdity except when one's notion of time and space perishes. The more interiorly anyone is elevated into heaven, the farther he or she is removed from the mental image of time and space. And the more deeply one is removed from heaven, the more one comes into an image of time and space. Thus, the farther away one is from a mental image of the infinite and eternal, thus from faith. Time and space are what fix human mental imagery and cause it to be entirely earthly and to relate to other imagery, of which the person is unaware. And they constitute the earthly person who reasons. The same applies to the divine human of the Lord, whose finite image we conceive of from the bodily properties in ourselves and in others. Unless we are removed from this image, we cannot conceive otherwise than that the Lord is just as any other human being. Likewise, the image of three in the one God, the numerical image of a trine, is one of space and time. From the human, the finite image is conceived of as a separated trine, but according to the angelic mental image, as one. So, you know, I thought that was a clear sense of how we have to move from a material finite understanding to a spiritual understanding. And there is always grief in that shift. We see it time and time again in our own lives, but also in the lives of others, where we're being invited to think beyond the historicals that we seem so attached to. And, you know, the new church is founded on the opening of the word. The old church is founded on the historical events in time.